Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
That does mean we have to talk a little bit more about the injury. Kenny Pickett suffering a hamstring injury at the end of practice on Saturday. That goes into today. He misses practice. And if you want more on evaluating that quarterback, you might as well go and listen to the head coach himself say it today. Kevin went through and talked a little bit. Just, yes, he's injured, the planning going through, but more so going forward and evaluating what to do with Kenny in the short term moving forward in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, knew coming off the practice field and then knew the severity of it. Obviously, as we talked through it, that he's going to miss today and maybe a couple days. But we'll reevaluate it after this block, if you will. And, again, disappointed for Kenny, but he's here. He's getting better. And we'll see when he's back out there.
So I really thought this was interesting. Not specifically what Kevin said, but just the fact of how you move forward, which is what I'm going to ask you. 216-474-0092. You go through and you see Kenny being down. Joe's going to be in the driver's seat for however long that takes, which could be tomorrow's camp and then he's back when they return to the field, or could be the rest of the week, could, lengthen out all the way until we're talking about joint practices and everything else. The soft muscle issues are sort of really hard to read. Like, you just don't know the severity of them. But I want to ask you guys again, 216-474-0092, how would you handle the remainder of the quarterback competition leading up to week one? Because this is cut and dry for me. Like, I'm very much in the boat. If one of the rookies absolutely stole the job, then run with them. But it doesn't really feel like one of the rookies has been stealing the job. Like, none of those guys have stepped up to a degree that screams, oh, you got to have them. You have to toss it to them. And you actually have to put them head-to-head with Joe and see which one's going to perform better. Like, Joe is the only guy that I trust right now for week one. I would like a veteran in there. Again, you want to tell me you want to win football games? I think everybody in this city wants to see the Browns win football games. Without Kenny, Joe's the only quarterback that has the possibility to do that from what they're showing us. So again, have focus on the rookies. But I don't know if you can handle this thing any more than hand Joe a lot of the reps with the ones, make him very comfortable there, allow him to establish that, and if Kenny comes back and he ends up stealing that job and ends up outplaying Joe the rest of the way and he shows he has a good connection, then so be it. But a lot of these reps should be going in the way of Joe Flacco. Like, yeah, sure, get Dylan Gabriel, sort of in the mix. I think if you want to, sure, go get Shador in the mix and throw him a couple times in with the ones. But a lot of it should be going to Joe. Like, allow your younger quarterbacks to get a feel what it is like playing with them. And like guys like Jerry, like guys like Cedric Tillman, make sure that they're comfortable throwing to the number one wide receivers. Because that should be something you're worried about later down the line. Like, that should be something that every team is worried about. It shouldn't all be about, here's our starter, let's make sure that guy takes every single snaps of the snaps of the ones. It should just be a majority of your time is here. And we'll mix you around in other spots. Like, maybe we throw Joe out there with the twos, because who knows? Maybe just in case, but probably not. Like, I'd be more comfortable with you taking the ones, and when you're not out there, just allow the other guys to sort of get through their reps, and then we'll send you back out with the ones eventually, too. I just don't know that I'm changing this thing entirely. Like, I don't know that I'm handing one snaps immediately and going, well, let's just give those to Dylan Gabriel or split them between Flacco and Gabriel. I think they just pretty much all go to Flacco. Like, I'm just sending them all Joe's way. If I want to win games, that's the path to do it. mix it around a little bit, but your path now becomes what quarterback is the most ready and what quarterback is going to be giving me the opportunity to win games. That starts with Joe to me. Again, 216-474-0092. How would you handle the remainder of the quarterback competition? Let's go out to the phones. Larry is in Illyrio. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, how you doing, Jake? Yeah, sure, interesting topic. To me right now with Joe being here, he knows how the system works. When he was here a couple years ago too, Jake, he knows exactly what's going on. I mean, the reps, but still, you got to have the guys ready, their backup, in case something happens to him. And Kenny Pickett, there's a way. What's this player club option, like $22 million? They ain't going to pick that up. But there's no way. So, yeah. And to me, too, Jake, right now with the Sure, when I hear about him throwing the ball, I know I'm just watching, you know, his throws, but his placements are really good. And it don't matter if he's picked fifth or Dylan's third. Whoever's doing the best, that's who I'm going with. I don't care if he's picked third or not. And he surpasses that Shadur, he's got to play. But you got to have these kids ready, too, Jake. If Joe gets hurt, because he's no spring chicken no more, he's got to have him prepared, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you get away with a little bit more from Joe, just not having him out there as much during training camp. Because, yes, he's not a spring chicken. Like, I think he does need to go out there and get some throws in. It's just less. Like, you've prepared for that every year of your career. You've been ready. You've done this. Like, you know how to get ramped up a little bit quicker, and you probably don't need as much rhythm and getting ready to the offense. But you still got to go out there. Like, give these other guys some reps, but you still got to be out there.
But you got to give the kids time. You got to, Jake. You got to get these kids ready. You can't go in there and just not have them ready. Something would happen. And but I see, to me, to Sure right now, and I know just you see the throws. I get it. They haven't faced nobody yet. Even the preseason, they're going to face nothing either defensively. You know that. You'd all be vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, Stu, like I said, yeah, give him a chance to me. I think DeSure's the I think he's the future. I'd be wrong saying that, but that's, in my opinion, what he does now. And I was listening to Bernie, too. I was listening to one of the show talk about Bernie Kosar, about DeSure had a problem back in college, too, Jake, when he was back there in Buffalo, in Colorado. But the way he used to go back all the time and get himself sacked a lot, well, I noticed, too, but Bernie mentioned, too, how he stepped up in the pocket. Hit step through the ball more and more precise. That's a good thing to happen. I think he's got to work his kinks out, but not against Dylan. You know what I mean, Jake? I ain't discredit the kid, but I know why they picked him probably. Because, you know, Big Ten football competition where he faced, I get it. But you can't go by that. You got to go what you see in practice. And so the Sure right now what he's doing, he's not doing too bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think both these guys have played so. And Larry, I appreciate the call. I think, like, we were out there last week just for one of the days. Like, I haven't seen them throw every day, but let me tell you, well, none of the quarterbacks looked good when we were out there last week. That's just an absolute given. Like, they all looked really bad. But, like, Shador makes decent placement on throws. There were also a lot of the throws that I think further down the field he struggled a little bit. And again, like, I'm someone who's liked Shador throughout this process. I really liked him in the fit with the Browns, but you still have to come and show it. You have to play your way into getting that job. And I think that opportunity should be available to them. Like, they should have the opportunity to sort of play through this. But I think you got to prove it at the level you're at. Like, if Shador's out there running with the threes, which for a majority of a camp today where he went 9 for 9, threw 2 touchdowns, he was out with the threes. If you continue to do that and you show, hey, I'm really good with this spot, all right, move him up to the twos. Like, the rookie should be flexible. You're right. It shouldn't matter where you're drafted. Kevin and Andrew said that both. Once you're here, does not matter. Well, if Shador keeps putting on good day after good day, then yeah, he should move up to, you know, at least without Kenny in the mix, the number two spot. And maybe get reps with the ones and get a lot of reps with the twos. I think you have to keep it fluid, and you have to get these guys ready. And Kenny going down, well, it's obviously a bad thing for Kenny, and you never want to see that. It's also a really good thing for the rookies. They all talked about trying to steal reps. This is an opportunity in a roundabout way to go through and steal some extra reps and have more throws on the field. In a way that a lot more teams go through and have three-man quarterback competitions, should free up the Browns to do a whole lot more. All right, real quick, let's head back out to the phones. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing, man?
We're doing good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, I'm not too excited about any of these quarterbacks, to be very honest. I mean, to me, they're all just kind of treading water, getting us through this season. You know, I think the big focus is going to be on next year in the draft. But, you know, to me, I mean, to me, Pickett almost seems like the, you know, at least he has the possibility of being decent this year and starting. And, I mean, to me, it's almost like two tiers. You got Pickett and Joe Flacco are the veterans. They're probably going to start the season. And then you got the rookies vying for the third spot. And I mean, in my opinion, you know, the guy, the rookie that doesn't look as good should just go to the practice squad if they can even hide him there. I mean, they, you know, I don't know if anybody even wants Shedeur Sanders. I mean, the whole NFL passed on him for four rounds plus, you know. So I would put Shedeur on the practice squad. If I'm not that impressed with it, you know, I'm not that impressed with his arm. I see in some of, you know, he's just dinking and dunking his way through this training camp.
Yeah, BP, I will say, though, like, that's a lot of what this offense is built off of is the short throw, which I don't think it's everything. Like, you'll see Joe extend the field, and we're up against it, BP. I appreciate the call, but I got to let you go.
One last thought.
Go ahead.
You know, I still think the Browns should look at Amari Cooper. I just, can you hear me?
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I got you.
I still think the Browns should look at Amari Cooper. You know, Flacco had a ton of success with him. And, I mean, I can't, based on what you guys are reporting from Berea, they definitely need another receiver.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely use one, and BP, I appreciate it as always. I just don't know. I don't know that that relationship would be really repairable compared to what happened the first time all that well. But I just don't know if, like, Shedeur, the offense is built off the dink and dunk. Like, it's a West Coast-style offense for the most part. A lot of short passes, a lot of getting the ball there. We'll talk more on the Browns quarterbacks coming up here with Dylan Feltovich as he joins us in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volney on The Fan. We head out to The Fan Hotline. It covers the Browns for Cleveland Browns on SI. You know him as Dylan Feltovich, and he joins us now. Dylan, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
We are, I don't know that I could say good. I go to Cincinnati for a weekend, and I come back, and I have another pitcher in a betting scandal, and I have a quarterback with a hurt hamstring. I just wanted to be gone for one weekend. That's all it was, and then Cleveland collapsed around me in the sports scene.
Yeah, there's no way that you can have any joy with Cleveland sports at this point.
I'm telling you. Jax or Bordoff brought it up, too. I think I might have been away at the point of Luis Ortiz getting thrown into the betting scandal. I just don't know if I can leave anymore. I might just be, like, ankle-monitored into having to stay in Cleveland at this point.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can't win. I just wanted to see a Reds game, Dylan. It can't happen. But
no, not at all.
As we quarterback, obviously, a main concern here. I'll ask you, if you're Kevin Stefanski, how do you sort of rearrange this thing going forward in the quarterback competition following the Kenny Pickett injury?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question everyone's asking at this point. It's very tough to assess how to move forward with this, especially with we don't really necessarily know a timetable for the return of Kenny Pickett. But to be honest with you, I think this is a good opportunity then for the guys like Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders to get some more reps in there. I think that you know what you have in Joe Flacco. He's seen plenty of reps. He's been there. So I think it's a good time to start to elevate Shador and Dylan Gabriel in their snap counts, get them some more reps. And I obviously, you know, it's tough to assess how a player does since it's training camp and it's not the full-blown action there. But at the same time, too, getting them sort of used to the playbook and at least moving at that speed of an NFL kind of game there, I think that's very important. And I think that's how you're going to have to move forward with this situation now.
So with the rookies, are you still giving them a chance to win the competition, or are you pretty much flat out, this is Joe unless Kenny gets back relatively quickly?
My guess is no. I wouldn't assume that either of the rookies would win the quarterback battle. And to be honest with you, I think that's probably the best case scenario, just because both of the guys, you know, they were selected in the third and fifth round of this year's draft. There is going to have to be some development with them. And I think that with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett both still in the room, I think it's pretty clear that neither of those guys will be the starter when it comes to week one. So my guess is no. I wouldn't say that either of them really have a true shot. I mean, obviously, you could say that everyone has a chance to become the starter, but I really think that it's a two-man race between Pickett and Flacco.
Dylan, as we look at it this way, did the Browns sort of botch this thing then by calling it a four-man competition from the outset? Because it does feel more like it's a two-man competition with two guys trying to develop and get ready for their very first season and see how far up they can climb, but not necessarily that they were ever in the competition necessarily.
No, I don't think they necessarily botched it. I honestly think the way that they've been handling it so far, despite it being one of the rarest cases of a quarterback battle we've seen with four different guys competing for the job, I mean, you don't want to go in there with the mindset of saying, hey, it's going to be Pickett or Flacco. But obviously, too, you know, at some point you have to call a spade a spade. And I feel like with those guys having experience in the NFL already, and with Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders being those late round picks, it's kind of already, the writing was already on the wall with that. So I don't necessarily think that they botched it in any way, but I also think, too, that, you know, it was pretty much telling for most people that it was going to be a two-man race.
Is Kenny out of the quarterback competition for you? Like, just missing what is every single snap at this point is integral, obviously, if they try to figure this out. Is this sort of take him out of the running for week one, or is there still time for you to kind of let him get back into the mix and still try to win it?
I still think there's definitely time for him to get back into the mix. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I've never been the highest on Kenny Pickett, and I wasn't the biggest fan of him coming out. And, you know, I still definitely have my concerns about him, too. But I definitely think that he should still be in the running for this quarterback race, just because Joe Flacco's a veteran. He's 40 years old. We understand that. And we know that he has kind of the experience behind it. But also, too, you're still trying to look for your franchise quarterback in the midst of this. And I think that if Pickett is, you know, at least somewhat competent in this, you should start to give him a little bit more of a runway and see just how much he could actually be a factor in this race. Because, I mean, quarterbacks coach Bill Musgrave came out on Friday saying that he looked stellar in those first couple of days of training camp. So I still think that he has a little bit of runway. I still think that they want to see a little bit more out of him, but it's just now going to be really tough with this injury.
Dylan Feldvich with us here on the Fan Hotline. Dylan, obviously, like, we've heard Andrew Berry say that, at least try to convince the media. I don't know that it's, you know, not a smokescreen or anything else, but they'd consider taking four quarterbacks into the regular season. In a weird way, obviously, you never want to speculate in a good manner on an injury, but is it almost out for the Browns to go through and make this thing a three-man race and make Kenny the oddball and use the injury as a way out?
Honestly, I still think that there's a chance that this could happen. I don't necessarily think it's a smokescreen. I think it's more of a case of they truly don't know what's going to happen and who they think the guy is. You know, there's a lot of indications where early on in training camp or OTAs and stuff, you could start to see a guy truly rise up and take over as potentially the starter. But with how everything's going so far, there hasn't been anyone that has really stepped up into that spot so far. And I think that's going to be the thing with them where, you know, they're still on the constant search of trying to find a quarterback for the future, and they almost have to maintain these four quarterbacks in the mix just so that they could potentially hit on one of them. So, no, I mean, I definitely think that this is probably – this could go on a little bit longer, especially going into the preseason where you start to see more live snaps. But I definitely don't think that this is a smokescreen in any sense.
All right, Dylan, let's last one here on the quarterbacks. Right, but let's talk a little bit of Shador. Obviously, the guy that I would say a majority of the fan base is excited to see play, but he's been running reps with equipment managers and ball boys and everything else because they have four quarterbacks and not four units of people to run out there. He's going to get to slide up. How has he looked to you, and what does he have to do to sort of move up this depth chart and keep it going moving forward in training camp?
I think he's looked pretty good so far. You know, I always think it's very tough when you try to assess a quarterback during the training camp period or OTAs and during the offseason in general, just because, you know, it's not a live snap. And what really matters is playing those live snaps against real competition there. It's one thing to be able to go up and do your best against, you know, the fourth stringers or the third stringers in this case. But it's another thing to go up against, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers every week. I think he's looked pretty good. I think what I try to look for in these scenarios is just the basics, you know, footwork, mechanics, how he's managing the pockets, where's his reads at. Those little things have started to look good. And I think that, you know, that's going to start to pay off for him, especially with the Kenny Pickett situation right now. You know, he's going to have to take advantage of this opportunity because he's going to start to see more snaps now. I think that the Browns want to try to get him more involved now. So I definitely think that this is a good case for Shador Sanders moving forward, and he's just going to have to rise up to the occasion. I mean, he needs to continue what he's been doing so far and show consistency with it.
All right, let's move away from the quarterbacks, but elsewhere on the offense. One of the biggest question marks on this team that feels like everybody has almost in a way forgotten is Deontay Johnson. I guess, what are your expectations for him? Like a ceiling and a floor on what he can or can't be this year?
Nice way to pull up the question that I was talking to you about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, basically, I'll say what you said there. I mean, and I agree with you on it. His floor is basically nothing. He's not with the team anymore. He doesn't make it to the season. But if you're going to talk about his ceiling, this is a guy that has proven to be a pretty good route runner in the NFL that consistently can get open for a quarterback. And he showed that at times with the Pittsburgh Steelers back in those days. And, you know, obviously with everything that has gone on after his time with Pittsburgh, you know, it's tough to really assess what he could do, but I mean, he could definitely fit in at his best. He would be a wide receiver two for this team and a guy that could actually be able to run in Kevin Stefanski's system, get open for whoever the quarterback is this year, and be able to just be a reliable, consistent target in an offense.
Hey, what can I say? Sometimes you gotta dig deep for questions and sometimes they write themselves, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Dylan Feldovich with us here on the hotline. Obviously, the running back room's a concern with Quinshon Judkins' legal situation. Let's take a look at the room without him. How big of a concern is it for you?
It's a pretty big concern. That it's very rough without Quinshon Judkins in it. And I think one of the biggest things, too, is just the style of play that Quinshon was going to bring to the table for the Browns. That is going to be a huge piece because if you look at the rest of the running backs in the room, you got the three guys mainly. You got Dylan Sampson, the rookie. You got Jerome Ford. And then on top of that, Pierre Strong Jr. Those are more of the elusive, can break off big run kind of plays. And now without Quinshon Judkins in there, you don't have that bruiser back mentality guy where, you know, you need to get a couple of yards in the first down. You don't have that in the room right now. And that was something that Cleveland definitely struggled with last season. And that's a huge issue moving forward. And if they don't have a way to kind of figure out, if they don't get any news soon on Quinshon Judkins, there has to be some backup plan in place to be able to try to find someone like that to be able to take those early down situations, get up the middle, and just get a couple of yards, because, again, they lack that right now in the room, and Kevin Stefanski's system definitely needs that.
We obviously, we've talked prior on the offensive line. You deemed it as a group that you can feel has a big bounce back. How much of this run game is the offensive line just bouncing back and opening up holes, and how much of it is you need the guys at the running back position to actually be able to do it, and which one is ultimately the bigger thing for you?
I think it goes hand in hand. I don't think it can necessarily just be one of the two that really matter the most, because, you know, I always say a run game always depends on the run game itself, the scheme, and then on top of that, the offensive line, and then it comes to the players. It really matters who is blocking up front. And I think that with all the adjustments this year, I think that there's going to definitely see some progress with that. But at the same time, too, you know, you have to have the guys in there as well that can be able to fit into that system. And like I said, you know, you don't have that sort of bruiser back in the room right now. And maybe if Quinshon does come back at some point this year, you got it back, you're great. But now you're kind of lacking that little juice that you need on those early down situations. And, you know, it's great to be able to have those explosive backs that can kick it outside and stuff. But at the same time, too, there has to be healthy balance between that. And, you know, we saw that a lot with prior seasons when you had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt there. And I think that's what they were trying to do originally with Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson. So I think that's the big issue. I think they go hand in hand. But at least at the bare minimum, I think that there will be a little bit more of an upgrade just because of the offensive line being probably in a better scheme than they were last year.
Dylan Feltovich, Cleveland Browns on SI with us here, helping down breakdown where the Browns are moving forward. As we switch over to the defense, Carson Schlesinger, rookie linebacker, getting the green dot, going to have the mic on for the plays, calling the plays for the defense. How much pressure is that on a rookie linebacker, and how difficult is it to sort of live up and take that on as an extra role?
Jake, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was the number one thing I wanted to talk about. Because in my opinion, I think that this is one of, if not the biggest thing coming out of training camp. You rarely see a rookie being able to take over the green dot. Like, this is a very rare situation. And for him to come in and just be able to grab that pretty much out of the blue, no one really expected it. Obviously now with Jordan Hicks retiring, and then, you know, we don't know what's happening with JOK there. It's a huge deal. And I think that, you know, obviously I was a little bit skeptical about picking a linebacker early in the second round just because of positional value. But this looks like it's starting to pay off, and I'm really glad that it is, because that linebacker position was a big issue for this team in prior seasons. So being able to have a rookie out of nowhere kind of get this high spot for them, I think it's a huge deal, and I think it's going to be phenomenal for Jim Schwartz's defense moving forward.
You mentioned Jordan Hicks, obviously, retiring during training camp this year. It leaves the obvious question of a depth at the linebacker room. I guess, obviously, you can look at the guys and say it's a concern. How much does it ease, or I guess make it more of a concern, looking at Jim Schwartz's defense?
I think there's definitely, it doesn't ease me. You know, there's a lot of concerns with that, especially to, you know, the linebacker position. You know, everyone talks about the positional value behind it, and I'm the same way too. But at the same time, you also need to have guys that could basically just be able to help out in the run defense, be able to help out in those late down situations. And they're a key piece to any defense in the NFL. And if you don't have the right guys in there, your defense is almost dysfunctional at that point. You can ask any coach. The linebacker position is basically the glue for the defense there between the secondary and the front seven and the front four. So it's a big issue if you don't have the right personnel in there, and they're going to probably have to be able to do something there to try to add some depth, because right now, you know, you said it, it's looking pretty scarce right now, and it's going to be a concern.
All right, I got one more for you before we get you out of here, Dylan. Browns over under set at 5.5 for most sports books across the books. You feel more comfortable taking the over or the under?
Man, it went up to 5.5. Oh, it was good at 4.5. I liked it. Unfortunately, I think for now, I'm going to have to take the under.
Mm. I'm probably not. I'm not against you. It just hurts to feel it and actually say it out loud, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
All right, Dylan, as always, good stuff. Appreciate you setting aside the time, and I look forward to talking to you later down the line here as the offseason progresses.
Thanks, Jake.
Dylan Feltovich, Cleveland Browns on SI with us there on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say coming back here in 5 minutes as, we'll get more into the Kenny Pickett situation. Jake Vonnegut with the guys here on Overtime. Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterbacks, at least from what I heard across talking to people today, listening to Daniel Oyafusi, who was on with Nick and Chris out at training camp in afternoon drive, it sounded mostly like...
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, there was at least something there that was better with the quarterbacks in general. It just sounded like it was an overall better thing to get out of it. But in fact, talking about Daniel, let's go back and listen. He talked about the Kenny Pickett situation and sort of where he looks to deem the next guy.
We just don't know how long he's going to be out. I mean, you know, Adam Schefter, my colleague, said that he's going to be reevaluated later in the week. Stefanski said that there's no timetable. They're day to day. But, you don't want to miss a week of practice in a competition, especially the one that kind of leads up to the joint practice against the Carolina Panthers next week. But obviously, I think that does kind of put Joe Flacco maybe in the driver's seat a bit, as we saw him get most of the first team reps today.
So I think it's interesting. Joe in the driver's seat. Again, we talked about that. I think that's what makes the most sense. I also think an interesting part of this is whether or not Kenny Pickett's just out of the race. Like, whether you just basically take him out of it entirely. Because I don't know that you can do it right now. Just because you don't know the length of the injury. I do think there does become a point, though. Like, as we get into this, if Kenny's not back from the hamstring issue, you essentially have to pull him out of the week one competition. And obviously, I'm not talking about, like, if he's not ready by the second set of joint practices when they go and practice with the Eagles. Like, yeah, then obviously he would be out of the starting capabilities for week one. That's just far too long. But I think it's a lot shorter than that. Like, if Kenny misses his entire week of training camp and he doesn't get out there at all and the injury sidelines him, I would definitely struggle to want to continue to see him in the competition. Because I already thought it was an uphill battle for Kenny. Like, I already thought it was difficult enough. Even though the Browns thought that he looked really good, and Dylan mentioned, who we talked to last segment, Dylan Feltovich of Cleveland Browns NSI. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind feature, go back, listen. But Dylan mentioned, like, you can hear Bill Musgrave talk about it, the Browns quarterback coach, and he thought that Kenny looked stellar, I believe was the exact word that he used when he was out there before he got injured. So they clearly thought highly of him and thought he was good enough to be in the competition and be competitive with Joe. And I think his play emulates that. Like, I think that it speaks volumes to, hey, he was out there, he was completing passes. I think he looked on par to Joe in the day that we were out there, and from the videos that we've all seen of these guys throwing at camp, I don't think he was far off. But at this point, like, if you miss this entire week, and then we're going into next week, which is leading up to week one of preseason, and Kenny has not been taking reps with the ones, I mean, what are we supposed to do here? Like, do I roll you out in the preseason game and just see what happens? I don't know that that's entirely fair either. Like, there's going to be a point, and maybe it's following that, like, even if Kenny gets out there but he doesn't impress with the ones, that you have to write him off as being in the competition, is actually fighting for week one, because I need my guys comfortable, and I need this team to be ready to take the reps, ready to run at ones with ones and give me the best opportunity. If we're already, as many pundits and many of the people that we talked to on the station have said, you know, you kind of have to have your mind pretty close to made up, or at least have a pretty good idea of what your depth chart is heading out of week two's preseason game. I don't know that if he's already on the back burner and just a week away from not having that, you're going to be able to continue to put him in the quarterback competition. Obviously, I also think this is really interesting for the rookies. Like, I take them out of most of the conversation for the week one starter, and we have been doing that for a decent amount of time now. Like, I just don't think that they're really into the possibility and being able to do that right now. But it obviously gets you a ton more reps. And I think it gives you a prime sort of runway to determine who's going to be the QB2, right? Or at least between the rookies, which one of them is going to stand out more. Allowing them to get more reps, be more involved, start to actually build up a rhythm, that's going to play a massive part into getting these guys ready for the season. And what I thought was really difficult with the four-man competition, like, we'll throw out jokes and we'll talk about, you know, Shador throwing to equipment managers and everything, but that is genuinely like a huge difference to actually just throw to an NFL caliber wide receiver, or even a non-caliber, but a legitimate wide receiver, a guy who's been playing the position for a majority of his life. You don't get those same reps. I don't even view those reps as almost valuable when you're throwing to the equipment manager. You might as well be out there just slinging a ball into a net. It's pretty close to the same thing. You have to have some rhythm built, feel like you're a part of the team. And I don't view Kenny's injury positively. Like, again, I don't think that he's been my favorite quarterback by any means. I haven't given him much of a shot to be successful in Cleveland. I'll be open to it, but I don't think there's much of a chance there. I still think that Kenny should be in competition for the week one job. Like, I thought that he was battling with Joe. I was open to him winning the competition, but there is positives out of this. But you do take away things and at least get the rookies ready, get them the most amount of reps possible. And those are the guys that I'm focused on. Like, those are the ones that I've been wanting to see and continue to want to see have success. It's going to be the guys that have yet to do it. Like, they have to be the focal point for a part of this team. Like, Kevin needs to be focused on winning games. I'm looking towards my quarterback coach. Bill Musgrave, good coach from everything that we've seen in his career. I'm also looking at being like, I'm more worried about Bill trying to get the rookies up to speed than trying to work with Joe on the daily, spending a ton of time with him and trying to make it work. He's worked with plenty of quarterback coaches. He has Tommy Rees. He has Kevin Stefanski to lean back on. Yes, obviously be involved, make those moves and make the adjustments and help out the offense. But I'm looking for quarterback development. And I need somebody to be in charge of doing that, because you need to figure out, the goal does not change. It has to be figuring out if the rookies are going to be able to make a difference this year and if they're going to be your QB1 moving forward. That starts with development. I need somebody focused on them. And it's going to be my focus moving forward. Like, okay, Dylan's going to get more reps with the ones and a lot more reps with the twos. Shador's going to get more reps with threes and probably twos moving forward. How do you take those and run with it? Like, Shador completed some passes downfield. He's also made really good reads from everything that we've seen and the people that we've talked to. It feels like he's making a lot of the right reads. So eventually, everybody's got to get a little bit of burn. But every single rep you take as a rookie leading up to this really does matter. Like getting those guys as many opportunities in 11-on-11s, even non-live game reps, is huge. And hopefully Kenny's able to return by next Friday when they're taking on the Panthers. If he's not, the runway is open. Like the rookie should have a plentiful opportunity in real game reps to prove, here's what I am as a quarterback. And that's a point we should be excited for. Like everybody should be excited to actually see that happen. Not because the NFL preseason is by any means indicative of what happens. Like, oh, now his name forgets. Who was the wide receiver? It was an undrafted wide receiver they signed. He was just an absolute training camp hero.
Oh my gosh.
His last name, I'm pretty sure, started with a W. Anthony something. That's what's sticking in my head.
No, it's not.
It's an A. I feel like the initials are AW.
Oh my gosh, this was like last year, two years ago.
Yeah, it was not far away. It was not
Austin
along with.
Watkins?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, actually. Austin, I think it is Watkins. Austin Watkins, yeah.
It's something like that.
He was a demon. I was like, how does that guy not, how is he never going to make the team? And I mean, they cut him. Like, training camp is not everything. And preseason is not everything.
It is Austin Watkins.
Good pull by you, Jax. That's way to be on top of it.
Ball knower.
Absolute ball knower. I had the initials. I mean, that should tell you everything. He balled out in the preseason. I couldn't even remember the dude's name. Had his initials down. Didn't have the name. But, like, I get excited for those moments because it's a chance for the fans and really all of us to truly see those guys in action, truly see what it means when they step up. And I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry to make choices with these rookies and actually place them in the depth chart. It's going to be hard to deny, okay, either Dylan looks really good or Shador looks really good and where they're going to land on the depth on this depth chart. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we'll get to Get a Grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.